was April 16th. He fell in his bed and he breathed. Please see religiousness.
We'll share that brain remote list.
Emergency to public. In person or they die in the conference line. Or clicking the red link listed on the posted list. The public may also miss written comments to the board by emailing public comments at kingsvalleycharter2.com. The public may also provide comments during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodations will be provided for anyone with any individual with a disability. Reminder, as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website.
Thank you. I'm calling this meeting Kings Valley Academy. Order, and I need a roll call.
Arthur Rennie?
Here.
Julie Kaiches?
Here.
Captain Shagamazi?
Here.
Bill Lee?
Here.
Board Member Armando Lopez is absent tonight.
Voting Centers.
Thank you, Board President. This is Jillian Rojas from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Centers roll call. Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line for the roll call? Do I have a representative for Hanford on the line?
Yes, Hanford is here.
Thank you. And for Tulare?
Yes, Tulare's here too.
Thank you both. This concludes the Learning Centers roll call. You can place your lines back on mute.
Thank you. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the land of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Staff introductions, starting with court listings.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, Learning Centers Online, staff in attendance. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Good afternoon, Shelley Haynes, School Superintendent.
Good afternoon, Gagan Gill, Area Superintendent.
Good afternoon, Darren Bauer, COO.
Bill Thompson,
GM. Good afternoon, this is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Staff, presenters.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Katie Catania, Director of Leadership Development.
Good afternoon. Rafael Aguilar, Director of State and Federal Programs.
Good afternoon. Ricky Light, Committee's Programs Manager.
Good afternoon. Amy McIntosh, Regional Director of Student Services.
Good afternoon. Deidre Picciana, the Assistant Principal at our Hanford campus. I'll be presenting tonight for Christiana.
Thank you. I think that's it. Thanks, everyone, for introductions. Moving to item E, we have to approve the agenda for this April 16th meeting. I would need a motion to that effect.
Okay, just say so moved. Kathy Gotti made a the motion.
Thank you. Moving seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Hearing none. Motion passes. Item F, approved minutes of the February 26th. 26, regular public meeting. I need a motion to that effect.
I so move, Phil Zimmerman.
Second, Julie Hedges.
Any corrections or additions to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion passes. Consent agenda, item 2. All items listed on your consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with the blue policy to the charter floor. The board will be asked to approve all the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Which does two items is want to separate these or vote on them as a whole. If there's no separation, I need a motion then to accept the consent agenda items.
Kathy Giacomo, the ISO News. Even thank you, Sylvia.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now moving to item 3, public comment. Bonish.
At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted per presentations will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilize the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future event.
Thank you. Has anyone contacted us about presenting directly to us or on the telephone?
This is Rashmi Kaur to report there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you so much. Moving to item 4A, finance update.
Thank you, board. So I will walk you through an update as of March 30, 2026 for the line of credits that the school maintains. On the top portion, you see that the school maintains $500,000 of line of credit with Hanmi Bank at an interest rate of 7.25%. That interest rate fluctuates with prime rate. So we'll watch that always closely and notify the board if any changes. The expiration date is May 3rd, 2026. I know it's coming up, but the bank is working on the paperwork. That's why we don't have the date yet, but that extends for another year. The school maintains all the requirements that we need to provide. The bank normally asks us for specific financial information to know that the school is maintaining good financial health, so the school can tap into the line of credit when necessary, and the school has met all the criterias. On the bottom portion, you see LLAC's update as far as the line of credit. The school maintains $250,000 of line of credit with LLAC at a fixed rate of 6%. And this was approved through a promissory note, approved for this fiscal year. And on both loans, line of credits, the school has not tapped into the line of credit. And if in the future the school requires to do so, we'll definitely look into other sources as well to ensure the school receives the lowest interest rate if necessary. And with that, I conclude my report on the finance update. If any questions, happy to discuss. Thank you.
Questions for Gita? Thank you, Gita. Appreciate that. Move on to principal update. And where'd she go?
She's Deidre.
There she is. Hi,
Deidre.
I'm here. Hi. Awesome. All right, so I'm Deidre Piccione. I am the assistant principal at our Hanford campus, and so I'm stepping in for Christiana today, who couldn't be here. So good afternoon. What we're looking at right here is LP8 and our enrollment at 955, continuing to serve predominantly socioeconomically disadvantaged Latino Hispanic students. Our graduation rate reached 58% in LP8, but I'm happy to say that as of yesterday, April 15th, we reached 72%. And then we have ADA utilization reaching 90%. Yes, overall credit completion was 3.36. Next slide, please. Oh, you're there. In this slide, we see the one-year DAS cohort graduation rate continuing to climb. And here we also see our overall credit completion increasing as well. Compared to last year, we have shown slight increases from the previous 5 consecutive LPs. So we continue to emphasize the importance of our students focusing on their core credit completion. Last year, at this time, we moved from 1.63 to 2.01. So that's a great increase from this time last year. And as always, we're emphasizing the importance of those core credits, and they're going to take longer than those elective credits, but they're definitely more important. Next slide. This slide highlights our PAC and ELAC engagement achievements. So our Regional Director of Data Assessment and Accountability, Sarah Luna, shared out these quarter 3 participation. And so you can see that Kings Valley in our PAC, we had 18 total SPED parents and adult students. And then our ELAC, we had the highest in the region. It was really awesome to see that we had 21 EL parents and EL adult students attend our quarter 3 meeting. Next slide. Our Students got to go to the Exploratorium in San Francisco, where they were provided with hands-on experiences to spark curiosity, inspire exploration, and help students make sense of the world. Students had the opportunity to explore exhibits in learning about sound waves and the phenomenon called resonance, how plants respond to touch, telescopically explore the ocean, and so much more. Next slide, please. We participated in the Bite of Reality. This activity is designed to provide students with a hands-on, interactive experience in financial literacy. It stimulates real-world financial challenges and decision-making processes, helping students understand the importance of budgeting, managing expenses, and making informed financial choices. Next slide, please. This slide highlights our intention to continue building and celebrating students' interest and participation in dual enrollment and CTE pathways. We wanted to share a picture of one of our students from the dental assistant graduation ceremony. Because of the support provided from our GSPP counselors and teaching fellow tutors, KVA's individualized learning and flexibility worked with her in such a way that not only is she 5 credits from graduating high school, but she's also able to navigate how to be a teen mom. Once she graduates from high school, she plans to look for a dental assistant job. And then another picture shows CNA students on their first day of clinicals. They were so well prepared and so professional. We were proud of them. We also had an exciting opportunity a couple weeks ago where we were able to showcase our dental program and the thriving partnership we have with Kingsburg School of Dental Assisting. We understand that you've already seen the news story from a previous Charters Board report this morning, but our picture in this slide shows reporter Jessica Harrington from ABC 30 Action News having interviewed our very own Gagandeep Gill and a North Region student, highlighting how the program is helping students gain work-ready skills and opening doors to post-secondary career opportunities. Next slide. North Region Girls Basketball Championships were had. The North Region Sharpshooters, including one of our very own KVA talented young ladies, the number 4 there on the left photo, teams played intense physical man-to-man defense and showed the true spirit of Learn for Life athletics. On the right, our esports team has defended their first place title for yet another season. Next slide, please. The students got to decorate spring-themed figurines to welcome the season. Our wellness activities play a vital role in supporting the whole student, mind, body, and emotional well-being by creating a safe space for students to manage stress, build resilience, and feel connected. With the support of King's Partnership through the Thriving Minds program, we appreciate how these activities help remove barriers to learning by prioritizing mental health, encouraging healthy coping strategies, and fostering a positive school climate where students feel seen, supported, and empowered to succeed, both in and out of our learning center. Next slide. Just last night, on April 15th, our Tulare campus held an open house, bringing together students, families, and community partners for a day of connecting resources and opportunity. The event highlighted the school's commitment to personalized learning and career readiness, while also serving as an opportunity to connect with prospective students and families and support enrollment growth. The partners that were in attendance at the event were College of Sequoias, CSET, Source, Valley Strong, Restore 180, Valley Voice, the Marines, SJVC, Carrington College, Southern California Edison, Hope Horizon, Lawrence and Company College of Cosmetology, Family Services of Tulare County, the Navy, and Rising Sun Center for Opportunity. Next slide, please. And on such a high note, this first text message exchange was between one of our SRSs and a student who had been struggling with engagement But due to the relentless efforts from everyone, including our front desk staff, tutors, teachers, admin, and support staff, this student was able to re-engage and was so grateful that he felt compelled to reach out just to say thank you. Another picture on the right captures the elation of one of our graduates during the ringing of the bell on site in front of all students and staff. And then in addition, the email excerpt from the bottom, at the bottom there, is a student praising her ST for making a true difference in her educational journey. This is the kind of culture we're trying to share out in our community, in addition to students' testimonies about why KVA is the place to be. Next slide. And that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have, and I know that Ashley Taylor's on here as well to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions for Deidre? Comments? Thoughts?
Good job.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Now moving to item C, California Community School Partnership Program. Ricky?
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I'll talk about our year two implementation. I'm going to go a little off script. If you look at this slide here, please read that at your leisure. But Deidre just spoke about the event that she had yesterday, that community fair. I had the opportunity to go out there, and the CCSPP funded that event. And being able to speak to all our community partners and hear how they were excited to be a part of the school and be out there for that community resource fair. But one of the things that really stuck to me, which I talked to Gil earlier today, I was able to speak to three students that were in our robotics program. And just asking them and talking to them about, what does this do for you? And they were telling me how their confidence, their team and leadership skills, the ability to communicate more, and it gave them an opportunity to see different areas that they might be interested in once they get out of school. So this type of funding and the programs that we have, I just wanted to highlight that because that's what it's truly about, to actually hear the voices of the students and see what we're, the impact that we are providing for them. So I wanted to say that that was a true highlight of what this funding is about.
Thank you.
Next slide, please. So what's next? I think we just need to continue to provide those opportunities for our students. More programs, more CTEs, more pathways, more resource spirits, more community engagement, just to provide these opportunities for these students to engage and just see what else is out there. And the wants and needs, we still want to strengthen and support our students. We maintain and expand experiential learning for our students also, and ensure access and college career pathways for our students. Next slide. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions for Ricky?
Yeah, I just want to comment that robotics that you were telling about is phenomenal, how something like Legos and what it does for these kids, like you said, it instills leadership and everything else.
Yes, and a sense of community. That's what one of the things they said. I asked the three ladies, did they know each other before this happened? They said no. And now they have relationships outside of school, and, you know, it's just building that camaraderie. So
good.
Yeah, that's very good for us.
Thank you. They were ladies, right? And robotics.
Yes. Great. Thank you. Kitty, we're going to go to you with Career Technical Education.
All right. This is just to update the board on a new grant we were awarded, the Career Technical Education Innovation Grant, otherwise known as CTIG. In March of 26, the State Board of Education approved the awarding of the 13 grants, and KVA was one of those grants. So the next slide is just referring to the allowable expenditures. And the CTIG grant especially is very focused on career tech education. So they do allow purchases of things like, you know, vans to transport kids, etc. We choose to lease them rather than purchase them, but it has to solely be for the use of career tech ed activities. So we're very mindful of that. And along with that, they're again just talking about it also allows for teacher training, both in the areas of career technical education, but also supporting students or teachers to get those students to high school graduation, as well as what their career is. And I know in Hanford, they've taken trips to College of the Sequoias has a satellite campus in Hanford and in Tulare. So they've taken both of their students to those facilities to and especially in the area of robotics and engineering. COS has a great program, and so many of our ag industries around there, you forget, in their production lines of sorting fruit, packing fruit, all those kinds of things. We have the big manufacturing plant that manufactures boxes that things are packed in. So there's a lot of employment around there if you have an engineering and a background in that. So, and then the next side is just to keep in mind the non-allowable expenses, no travel out of the United States or to banned states as defined by the California Department of Education, and that we're not allowed to buy furniture or computers if ordinarily the district would already provide those. So KVA, their award, which starts July 1 for 2 years, will be $135,790. And we're currently in the middle of utilizing a current grant of $170,134 that will be utilized through December 31 of this year. And so as we expand into business pathways and more opportunities for kids to job shadow in some of these businesses that the community liaisons and Ricky and his folks are making connections with, we'll have plenty of money to be able to do that. So with that, that concludes my report on the new grant we're awarded.
Can you get the band dates? Would it be like Hawaii or Alaska?
No, it has to do with if they're out of compliance with some of the U.S. Department of Ed and the California Department of Education. If they haven't been spending their money right, if they haven't been following the rules and regulations, the California Department of Education can actually put a ban on that state, and you can't go there. You can't use their money to go there.
You know, what are an example of some of the bans?
I can tell you in the past, for a while, Mississippi was in trouble, and we couldn't go to Mississippi. Alabama, for some reason, Utah, there was a point where Utah wouldn't accept any of the Elementary, Secondary, and Education Act money for their kids, so we couldn't go to Utah for a while. So it kind of ebbs and flows. But I can get you a current list if you're interested.
Yeah. Thank you. Other thoughts and comments?
Thank you, Katie. Moving to item E. Local Control and Accountability Plan,
RPO. Yes, thank you once again for this opportunity. I'll be talking about the LCAP, and we're always focused about the accountability part because this is a plan, and this plan really is aligned with our goals, and we want to make sure that anything that we do is really in the benefit of our students. So that's what we talked about this. So this report here kind of keeps us focused and helps us guide tracking of our progress and monitor of what we're doing here for our school. So the report you see also has data added for the 24-25 end of year, so we can make a comparison, see how we're doing last year. In addition to that, we have data LCAP information for 25-26 between LPs 1 and 5. So this data, as I talked about, really is purposed to help us plan for the 26-27 school year. And I did point out here cycle of improvement, because every year we're always continuing to improve. We don't stay stagnant in a year. Every year we're always making adjustments to our program. Let's go to the next slide. So this slide here just showing you the annual LCAP process that we have in place. So on top you see there, it says implementation of the LCAP. That is done in July through August, and we make sure that our goals are implemented. We meet with our principals, and they ensure that these actions are implemented at the site. Between July and August and October, we're monitoring some of that progress, making sure that, you know, we stay on track of our goals and our actions. And then in November, December, we start collecting this information. We start sharing this with our educational partners. We did that here with the board. We do that with our ELAC and PAC meetings. We do that with our teachers and our students. And then it seems like we start repeating this over again, and we're in January, February. We start looking at this data. We evaluate it. We share that with our educational partners. In March and April, we start evaluating and revising the LCAP for next year, which is we're in the process right now. And we look at all the information, the data, surveys, and any input that we get to help us plan for next year. And then that last loop there, which is feedback and adoption, here in April, we start drafting our LCAP based on the input and data that we have. And then we start preparing for the approval of the LCAP, which you'll be having that pretty soon in your hands and for review. Next slide. So this is the progress that we have right now. These are metrics, and we do want to highlight a couple of these. For goal number one, increase academic progress, our DAS cohort graduated as a 92. It's not noted there, but I wanted to point out also the credit completion that Deidre pointed out was at 3.36. At the time of the report was at 3.3, so there's an additional increase there. Areas of focus that we always need to improve on is our NWA, ELA, and math course, and that's our assessment that we do with our students and making sure we monitor their progress, preparing them for the CAS scores. For goal number two, which is students who will gain skills for college career readiness, we've seen an improvement in our seniors graduating with A through G courses. We've seen that improvement. Students are now taking more A through G courses, not just graduating, but getting college readiness. Focus, again, is always getting proficiency in English and math assessments. And goal number three, which is increased student retention, we've seen an improvement. It has gone up to 87.4%, which is above our goal of 85%. And then another area of continuous improvement is that we continue to decrease the non-completer rate, which is our dropout rate. We want to stay below 9%, which slightly we're over it right now. But we always improve on that every year. So goal number four, which is increase educational partners. On this one here, we want to highlight that 97% of our parents feel encouraged to participate in school activities, which you've seen there, a lot of activities taking place. An area of focus, once again, is to improve parent, to increase that participation, but also have engagement where we do have meaningful dialogue and feedback in terms of how our programs are coming along. So for the LCAP, that concludes this report. Any questions? I'll be more than happy to answer.
Questions for Rafael? Yeah, Rafael, thank you. You're next.
All right. So just following up with the school survey report. And so we concluded our annual survey, which began back in early November last year. We concluded in February. So we have some results here. We want to show with you that we have good, consistent, strong comparison to enrollment and last year. So this year we had 924 students participate, 331 parents, and 100 staff, which is 100% of our staff. And when we talk about staff, I want to point out, I think it was a question last time, is we're talking about every person on site. That's our front desk. That's our tutors. Those are SRS, our counselors, our teachers. So everybody has a different role at the school. So sometimes when they provide response, we might have a different response based on some of the questions that they receive. In addition to this, after we receive this, you know, we share this with our educational partners, we share it with our teachers and students and parents, and we're also sharing with you so you know exactly, you know, what's taking place and the feedback we're getting from our schools, from our educational partners. Next slide, please. And so we use the survey to help us plan for the LCAP for next school year. You can see here that the data here helps us inform us for the 26-27 LCAP school year, and you know, there we don't make adjustments every year, but sometimes we make a little adjustments because we're confirming, we're validating exactly what we need to do. And again, just areas of our actions, we just strengthen them by changing a little bit more of the strategic approach to that. In addition to completing the survey, this meets our California requirement of having a school climate survey, and that school climate impacts the school safety and connectedness. And so we want to confirm that this research shows that positive school climate directly impacts certain indicators to continue increasing our teacher retention, our dropout rates, and maintain our school safe and increase higher achievement for our students. Next slide, please. So here are two highlights of our students, and you've probably seen the report obviously has a lot of questions or a lot of reports there. I just want to highlight these two because these are the ones we report on most of the year. You see here that 99.03% of students feel safe at the school. In addition to that, they also say that 99.78% say that their teachers respect attendance and participation at the school. Moving on to the next slide, which is our parents. For this one here, 96.68% of parents say that the school encourages their participation. That wasn't me. Okay. And activities throughout the workshops and meetings. In addition to that, 98.19% of the parents say that their voice is welcome and heard, and that's a very important result for us because that tells us that, you know, the school has been reaching out to the parents. The last slide, or next slide here, is our staff. And we have here that 99% of the staff report that they feel connected to the school, which is important because they're the ones that really connect with our students and making sure that they are engaged at school. And the last question here, which is staff really cares about our students, we have, again, 99% favorability. So overall, these are very positive results of our school. We'd like to share that with you guys. So that concludes my report. If any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Do all of you have questions? Comments?
Good job.
Thank you. Now move on to Amy McIntosh. Easy clarification.
Thank you, Board. Good afternoon. In support of the implementation of IDEA, the CDE sends each school an annual determination letter indicating the school's status related to special education compliance. You have received a copy of this letter in your board packet. The CDE has completed its data review and identified the monitoring tier and level of compliance and improvement monitoring SIM process for 2026. The monitoring tier will be based on the previous year's tier plus any additional data collected and reviewed. For 2026, KVA monitoring level assigned is targeted level 3, needs assistance. I'm happy to share that in the 2026 monitoring, Kings Valley Academy was compliant with IEP timelines. KVA 2 completed its previous SIM plan in January 2026 and is beginning the SIM process again. The SIM team is comprised of school administrators, special education and general education teachers, and staff. We will review the current data to understand current monitoring tier and also be completing a student record review, policy and procedure review, data analysis, and seek parent input through a survey. This information will be used to identify areas of need and write our SIM plan with activities to support those areas of identified need. We will continue to participate in a series of informational webinars and workshops hosted by the CDE and our SELPA that are designed to support the development and implementation of the SIM process, and you will be updated as the plan unfolds. This concludes my section. Are there any questions from the board?
Or questions for Amy? Thank you, Amy, for presenting that. We appreciate it.
Thank you, board.
First vendor list, Gagandhi.
Thank you, President Rennie. The vendor list is located on pages 271 to 273 of your board packet. The attachment is a listing of all the school vendors with a brief description of their services. As you can see, the list includes vendors who provide varying services, including professional development, technology, healthcare, benefits, etc. We present this list to the board as an informational item twice a year for your review. Please review the list for any potential conflicts of interest. If you have any questions, please reach out to myself or Bill Thompson. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone on the list? Very good. The just moved to I. I'm announcing that the draft, the 26-27 board meeting draft is prepared for you on page 275 and it has 6 dates, so you might want to note them down. I'll move to action items. Starting with the board, we asked to approve the revised charter school accounting. And
I believe you wanted to read A, is that correct? Yeah. She has to read A.
Yes. Okay, thank you. The CDE DAS division recently updated its recertification instruction. The renewal application process for existing application based on DAS schools for the 2026-27 accountability year and the 2027 dashboard is anticipated to open later this year. LEAs and schools are encouraged to regularly monitor the CDE DAS webpage for the most current information, updates, and application timelines. Due to the recent update by CDE DAS division, they will not be asked to take action on the item right now. Due to this recent update, no action is required at this time. Staff will continue to monitor the CDE DAS webpage for the official recertification process and timelines during the 2026-27 period. This item will be brought back to the governing board for review and recommended action once additional information becomes available. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll be dealing with that a later date. Moving to item B. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. Gita.
Thank you, board. So I would like to go over two sections in the accounting manual. As you all know, this is a fluid document, so if there were there are any changes, I'll bring it to the board's attention. So there are two recommendations on two sections, and in your packet, you also see all the red lines, so you know where the changes were made. The updates make two main changes to the accounting manual, and both are meant to make transactional approvals more clear and documented system-based. First, for the check that are over $25,000, the old language allowed the second facsimile signature to be used with email approval from an authorized designee. The new language replaces the email step with approval through the micro system workflow, meaning the approval is now documented in the purchasing system rather than a separate email. Second, for the purchase orders, the old language required any purchase orders over $25,000 to be reviewed and signed by a board member. The new language replaces that with the broader electronic approval workflow in Microids for all purchase orders based on authorization limits. It also changes the board threshold so that only purchase orders over $50,000 are later sent to the board for ratification and signature. With these changes, the school is moving from a manual approval process to a formal electronic process that provides an audit trail while maintaining board oversight for larger purchases. So these are the two recommendations, and if any questions, I would be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
If you get your questions, comments. Thank you for that report. Gita, I would need a motion to approve this revised charter school accounting.
Yeah. Hey, Giacomozzi seconds the motion.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. Moving on to item C. We're going to be asked to approve the Declaration of Need forms, Gandhi.
Thank you. The Declaration of Need is a routine document stating that despite our diligent search, we may need to hire intern teachers or teachers without full English learner authorization. This includes out-of-state credentialed teachers or those credentialed before EL authorization was required. We estimate needing 10 staff members to complete their EL authorization and 5 interns without a full California preliminary credential. Thank you, and that'd be it.
Well, thank you. That was great. All right, I need a vote then. A motion to approve the Declaration of Need.
I so moved. Bill of Rights.
You'll be back to second.
Moved and seconded. Would you any questions, discussion? All in favor?
Aye, Alex.
Motion passes. corporate officers, board members, observations, and comments.
Thank you, President Rooney. I'm looking at the reports here, and I really appreciate all these reports, I guess. Deidre, thank you so much for your report. It was well done. And Ricky and Kitty and Raphael and everybody else. And I noticed something that was kind of important. We're teaching. We're all teaching. But what we're really reading out with all these reports is real life experiences. We can learn all we need to learn within the walls here. But when we open the doors and we're taking them out and we're showing them San Francisco and you're showing them sports and you're showing them what real life is beyond getting that diploma. And I think that is so wonderful that this educational program here that we have at Kings Valley is something that we should all be very proud of. And I'm very proud of all of you. So thank you so much. And I'm not going to forget our CF up there. Guida, thanks a lot. You're protecting Kitty.
Yes.
I'll see you later. Back to you, Mr. President.
Comments from the board and other corporate. There are no further comments. Okay, motion to adjourn. So we need to go into closed session. Or Lindsay Hoskins, first Kristen South. Again, for Sophia Aguilar, first Kristen South. And for a public employee performance evaluation. I'm sorry, I need a bunch of good out there.
Kathy Giacomazzi, I so move.
Thank you, Kristen. Is there a good second? Motion passing unanimously. Board Member Julie Ketches made a motion to exit the closed session. Board Member seconded the motion, and the board voted unanimously to adjourn the closed session and reconvene the open public board meeting. No action was taken in closed session for a conference with legal counsel about Hoskin case or Aguilar case. That's what occurred. Move on then to announcing that the next meeting is May 28th at 2 p.m. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move, Jackie.
Second, Julie.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Rob.
This meeting is adjourned.